Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as Ireland changes, so does the kinds of literature we produce. So it was inevitable that we'd start to see works based on the experience of direct provision. This Hostel Life was published in 2018 and has since been adapted into an opera. The author Malatu Uchi O'Currier is also featured in the latest video produced by the Irish Writers' Centre called Dublin One City, Many Voices. Malatu, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Sean. Thank you so much for having me.
So it was 2006 you first came to Ireland with your daughter at the time.
It was 2006. I came to 2006, yes, but yeah. Not with me. I had my daughter in Ireland.
Oh, right. Okay. So, yeah, because I was wondering that. Yeah, your daughter, how much of her life did she spend in direct provision? Was that her kind of first experience of Ireland?
Well, I was in direct provision when she was born, so that would have been her first experience, I would say. She was very little when we left, so she doesn't have much. So it was all about playing with kids, you know, the memories that every normal child has of just friends that they've made, you know, as opposed to anything else, yeah.
And so you were in direct provision, am I correct in this? You were there for 8.5 years, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did it, because it always strikes me as it must be an odd experience for people in direct provision, because they've come to Ireland, but when you're living in direct provision, you're not quite in Ireland yet. Did it feel a little bit like living in limbo in a way with people from all parts of the world?
Well, I suppose you can adopt that phrase, because it does in a way, because you move around, but you're not really, you know, you're with people, but you're not necessarily operating in the same kind of, you know, the same way with every other person. You don't necessarily, you're not working at the time when I was in direct provision, you couldn't work. And there were just things, and you couldn't, access third level education or some kind of education. I don't know if it's just third level, but, you know, you couldn't access any apart from just short courses or English classes, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a sense of like you can't. There's really, there wasn't really much to do apart from just, you know, waiting to know what. You know, in expectation to know what your fate is in terms of your application to.
Yeah, was that a very frustrating experience? 8 years of waiting.
Well, I suppose I've always said that needs change, because I know that in the beginning it wasn't frustrating for me at all. It was more like a breath, like a deep breath of relief. But then towards the top end of the 8 years, it became frustrating. So.
Yeah. Now you arrived already with a degree in English. Did you have an ambition to write from that point?
Not at all. Never. It wasn't even something that I thought of or dreamt of or, you know, hallucinated about.
Yeah.
So not at all. I've always loved reading. You know, I've always enjoyed reading. Reading I love literature. Right from, you know, very. I've always loved literature. So that was just, it was just something that I suppose I just did something that I enjoyed and I loved something that I had a love for, but not necessarily. I wasn't thinking in terms of using it to as a career path. You know, but that all changed when I came to Ireland.
Mm. And was it being in Ireland or being in direct provision that first put the idea in your mind?
I would say both, because Ireland has such a rich literary culture, you know. And so I suppose in a sense, probably if I was in another place that the culture is rich in something else, you know, I'll probably be thinking towards that end. But yes, Ireland is so rich, you know, in culture, in its literary culture, and it's always promoting it. It's always promoting literature. So I suppose, yeah, and then there is that bit of being in the right profession where there's nothing, like I had nothing to do. I just had stories, you know, there was just that, it was almost like the calm after a storm. So you have this bit of time to kind of reflect and maybe nostalgia, which I always use because I think that's most part of it came from that, you know.
Mm.
And yes, I would say that both informed my, would I say need or, you know, to write.
Yeah. And was a big influence there, the various stories you heard from people when you were there, when you were in direct provision?
Well, I think I started off with stories about just things, memories, I would say, that I wanted to put down. And then it shifted to kind of things happening around me, you know, your observe, because, you know, in life, we always observe things, but we don't necessarily want to write about it. Sometimes we just talk about it. So it shifted from, you know, thoughts about home and then or writings about home, to things around me, you know, to my writing becoming influenced by my environment or my surrounding.
Mm. And
there's always that shift. There was that shift.
Yeah. Were you very conscious of that while you were doing it?
Oh, God, that's an interesting question, because now I can tell you that, yes, but at the time, was I? Not necessarily. I wouldn't think so. But now, probably, part of me could sense the shift. You know, I think with time now, with the number of years I've spent, you know, in this developing this writing and in the writing process, I can tell when there's a shift in my writing and in my interest. But at the time, most likely, that might not have been the case that I noticed the shift.
Yeah,
it could have been just been something, anything that came to my head, really.
Because I did read that for this Hostel Life, for some of the stories, you actually invented a kind of a Nigerian English.
I would say so. I would say that when I say invented, kind of makes me feel like I'm, you know, Steve Jobs or something. I would say that it's just kind of like I had a character in my head that I wanted a language for, you know. Mm. And for me, it was kind of like a mishmash of you know, the styles of English or the way that people spoke English around me at the time, because they're just people. I would always say that direct provision is kind of like a united nation in a small place. So everyone kind of, you know, we're all trying to communicate in English. And then, you know, there's always these different ways of broken English that is used. So
yes,
which has become very interesting and so rich and so, you know, so now that I'm not, I felt so adorable, I would say, as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just trying to capture that in words, that would be the case.
With, yeah, you know. Yeah. And so, and again, as you say, you probably don't notice it until afterwards. Once you'd left direct provision, did your writing change? Because I suppose your environment had changed at that point.
I would say that not necessarily. I wouldn't say that, but I think that my writing changed after I got published, because then I became more conscious. You know, you're kind of like there's this exposure to other people's scrutiny, I would say, of your work. And I think that affects all of us in different fields. So that would have changed, but you know, leaving the rep, I don't think that changed anything at all in terms of how I wrote or what I was interested in writing. But I would say that after I got published, and you know, and you kind of like you have, you know, that other people are reading your work, and then I say, you know, it's interesting even just having someone else look at your work and just pick up on things that you didn't even think about. So that I would know. I think that my writing kind of changed all the things that, you know, I became more conscious of what I was putting down as opposed to in the past.
Yeah. But I suppose your skills improve as you go on. And you do, yes. you do creative writing in Trinity as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you conscious of the fact that you're actually changing Irish literature as well? Because, you know, as you probably know, a lot of Irish literature has been just people fighting with their families. And you're adding a completely different way of seeing the world to that.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. And to your family fighting with our families, come on.
Or is that a universal thing?
It's a universal thing, believe me. But yeah, I would say, well, I never thought about it that way. I just wanted to write things that I was interested in, things that I have. I've always been drawn to certain kind of literature, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and strong stories where people are just kind of like, you know, be it fiction, be it nonfiction, but almost brutally honest about what they're talking about, not trying to, you know. So, and I think that takes so much guts. Now that I'm in the, you know, in the field of it, I admire such writing. And those are the kind of things that I'm drawn to. And I think I try to, you know, write in that sense, you know. So I don't know. I wanted to write some things that I thought that I wasn't, and that were honest and were my observations of things, I would say. So,
and when this Hast a Life was adapted into an opera, are you a fan of opera? Did you know much about it?
Well, of course, I knew as much about opera as much as anybody else. So no, the answer to that was no. But I've always been interested in collaborations. You know, I've always been interested in seeing how can two things work together to create something else entirely different. So that, for me, I was intrigued as well. You know, yeah. It was an honor, but at the same time, I loved the fact that I was going to do something new, that I was going to try, you know, something that is outside of my usual interests. And yeah.
Yeah. And seeing it on stage, did it? I assume a part of you at least must have gone, well, that wasn't quite what I wrote, because other people are involved now and there's an adaptation of your work. That must have been interesting.
But I think the thing is that one of the things that you learn quite early is to let go of your work once it leaves you. You kind of let it, you know, fly away and do whatever it wants to do. So I wasn't that, but it was more of a celebration of other people's interpretation of it, as opposed to feeling, oh, no, I didn't want it to be like that. Or no, I was much more interested and, you know. Happy with the interpretation of it.
Okay, well, Malatu, thanks a million for speaking with us today. And that was Malatu Uche Okorie there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.